RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Well, welcome into Sabres Live here on Tuesday, December 9th. It's the first one of the week. And unfortunately, Duffer's under the weather, so it's just going to be me today. But we are going to have Adam Kleber of Minnesota Duluth join us on the show in a few minutes here. He is a second-round draft pick of the Buffalo Sabres in 2024, looking ahead to the World Juniors Team USA, which tournament will take place in St. Paul, Minnesota. So that's going to be exciting for him. And we'll also have Bob Stauffer, basically Mr. Oiler. He does so much radio, TV, work with the Edmonton Oilers. We'll have him at 12:30 at the bottom of the hour. But obviously, we usually have a recap, right? We show the highlights from the night before at the start of the show. But today, I mean, number one, that would have lasted 12 minutes because there was 11 goals. It was a 7-4 loss to the Calgary Flames. And number two, it's like, okay, well, let's just forget about it. I can tell you what I thought about the game. We've had Lindy Ruff after the game says about what he thought about the game, Tage Thompson and everything. The results are what they are. The Sabres are now 2-9-2 on the road this year. Only two road wins is not going to get the job done. And the biggest issue right now is how do you keep pucks out of your net? Now, I get it. You know, they scored four. And Norris still ends up with two assists. And Tage Thompson scores a goal. And both Dahlin and Power scored goals. They were in a bit of a, you know, scoring drought when it comes to those two defensemen. But you had an opportunity last night to say, let's forget about the Flyers loss. Let's forget about the Winnipeg Jets loss. Let's go. We have four more games on the road. Let's get ourselves going. And the Sabres failed to get themselves going. And in the first period, it wasn't too bad. Like you played a decent first period. You were in undisciplined. So that costed you because you gave up a 5-on-3 goal. But it's in the second period that I felt where the Sabres really put themselves in a bad position. They kept coming back. Thompson scores. It's 2-1. Well, you know what? Again, it was basically a 5-on-3 goal. You take two penalty. You take an interference penalty. You have a greenway trip. So there was a 9 second of 5-on-3, but really at the end of the 5-on-3, the Flames scored. Huberdeau made it 3-1. You score again to make it 3-2. Owen Power with his third of the season. But right after that, 31 seconds later, Greenway with the turnover, it's 4-2. You made it 4-3. You're thinking, okay, like all you got to do is get out of the period, win the third period, you get yourself a point on the road. But then 4-on-4, Kuznetsov made it 5-3. And that was basically the story. It was the second period. Now, in the game, the Sabres now ended up with a situation where Jason Zucker got banged up, got hurt in the second period, came back and did play. But Lindy Ruff said on WGR this morning with Jeremy and Joe that Zucker will not be available tonight. So what does that mean? Well, you have Josh Dunn that's waiting that could come in, or you could make a roster move, which maybe somebody goes on IR or something, and then you can call up Noah Oslin from Rochester. But it's pretty hard. Like, you probably didn't get the news until late last night. It was, you know, obviously a 9 Eastern start, so it's midnight by that point. So you would have to think that Noah Oslin would have to travel all day today to get to Edmonton to play tonight. So I don't anticipate seeing, you know, a call-up get into the lineup. I would think that you have Josh Dunn there. He's probably going to be in the lineup with Zucker not in tonight. And you also have to think about Jordan Greenway. Why am I saying that? Because, well, Greenway has been kind of on a pitch count. He's not been playing back-to-back games. And he had a tripping penalty that led to a goal, a turnover that led to a goal. I don't know if the plan was to not play Jordan Greenway in this game, but now you end up with, you know, two players that you're not going to have available. Maybe you go to 11-7. Dunn gets in and Metsa, who was recalled to have an extra defenseman on the road, maybe Metsa gets in, so you go 11-7. But this is a tricky situation, and it is a tricky situation. Why? Because you have three goalies still on the roster, and it doesn't seem to have a flow. And Lindy Ruff said on GR this morning again, and he said it many, many times, it is uncomfortable. It is a challenging situation. It's not a good situation for the three goalies. It's not a good situation for him and the organization to have to manage those three goalies. But we are at a situation now where it is affecting your roster, your ability to make some moves or to play certain players. And Noah Oslin was really good. Like Lindy Ruff said, the only negative about Noah Oslin is we have to send him back down because he's the one that can be sent down and not have to go through waivers, and we don't have the roster flexibility. So it is obviously a challenge right now for the Sabres. Last night, the offense showed up defensively, or maybe it comes down to goaltending, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was fighting it. You know, got pulled after 40 minutes. Alex Lyon went in for the third period. We'll see what happens when it comes to goaltending and who's going to start tonight in Edmonton. That is a 9 p.m. start. Sabres After Dark, 8:30 will be your pregame on MSG, where I'll be there. And because Duffer is under the weather, looks like Howard Simon will be joining me in the pregame as a host. So, you know, we always love when Howard gets to fill in. So tonight will be a Howard Simon night at 8:30 on MSG. Now, I did mention off the top of the show that Adam Kleber will be joining us. And but before we go to Klebs here, I want to look at the schedule because there is still three games left on this road trip. The Sabres play tonight at the Oilers. They play Thursday in Vancouver and then Sunday in Seattle. You're 0-3 on the road trip. You're now 11-14-4 on the season. You win those three games, you get back to 500, and maybe you get yourself going before the Christmas break here. But the schedule is very daunting knowing that you start this road trip 0-3 and you have three games left on the road trip. So this is what we got, and this is what we have to look forward to. So as promised, we have Minnesota Duluth defenseman and Sabres second-round pick in 2024, Adam Kleber, with us. It says on your little screen there on Zoom that Kleeb, so is that your nickname? Is that what I should refer to you as, Kleeb?
No, I don't think that got adjusted. Probably should add a Z there for Kleebs. I don't know who put that there.
Well, so what? Let's start. What do your teammates call you when over there at Minnesota Duluth?
Yeah, just Kleebs, and then they've been starting to call me Big Man this year a little bit.
Big Man, I like that. You know? Any play in particular that maybe a physical play or something that happened that they're like, okay, here's the Big Man.
I think it kind of just started last year in the spring when we were just working out, and that's what our strength coach would call me. So guys kind of just started calling me that.
Well, obviously 6'6", and it says on your elite prospect profile, you're 225. Where are you at right now when it comes to your muscle and your your mass and all of it? Like, could we say 6'6", 225, or is it a little above or a little below?
No, that's accurate. It kind of fluctuates between 220 and 225. So yeah, anywhere around there.
Okay, that's good. Okay, well, let's dive into your season right now with Minnesota Duluth. Obviously, you're a sophomore, your second year. You know, you got drafted out of the USHL when you played with the Lincoln Stars. But how is this season different in your second year than your first year at the NCAA level?
Yeah, I think the season just for our whole team feels a little bit different. Last year, we were a younger group, kind of just adjusting. Like I said, we had 11 freshmen. Now this year, I think we were all super hungry coming in. We had really good summers and we're all really motivated. And now this year, I feel like we're kind of more adjusted and we came in more, you know, well adapted. And we've been having a good start so far. It's really fun, just, you know, winning more games this year. And we're doing really good so far.
Do you keep a track with the rankings and trying to see we're moving up or moving down? Because I believe right now what you guys are ranked fifth, in Division One, obviously. But do you keep an eye on that, or it's just for like people like me to keep an eye on?
No, we definitely keep an eye on it. We got some guys on the team that are always looking at stats and they like to kind of see what's going on. It was kind of funny because we had a bye week and we didn't even play a game that week, and then we moved up, so we were kind of a little surprised by that. But no, we're looking at it, and sometimes we like to see ourselves, you know, get a little lower, because then it kind of motivates us to kind of prove some people wrong. So I mean, yeah, we're not trying to focus on it too much, but I mean, we see it and know what's going on.
Well, obviously the focus now, and you mentioned a bye week, and we're getting into, you know, December, and the World Juniors is around the corner. You're a Minnesota kid. You play at Minnesota Duluth, and the World Juniors is in St. Paul, Minnesota. You guys won the gold last year. So how is the excitement level for you, knowing that all these things are all coming together for the World Juniors this year?
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's honestly starting to feel more real. As each week comes on and you're getting closer to it, it's starting to really feel real. And we head down to St. Paul on the 14th, and then we meet the guys, and then our training camp starts on the 15th. So I'm really excited to do that and get everything going.
So in the NHL, when you play back home and you have to buy all the tickets for your family and your friends, you basically say you're playing for free. That money that you're earning that day is going out with tickets. What's the ticket situation when you have your family and your friends, and it's the World Juniors? It's huge. Like, you're going to have a lot of supporters there.
Yeah, we've already gotten an email from the people who kind of run the tickets and who kind of manage that. And there's only one complimentary ticket. So going to one of my parents, and then my brother and the other one of my parents will go. So I got three people going, I guess. And we got a couple exhibition games up in Duluth. So I think my dad's going to try to bring his mom, my grandma, to one of those games. So it's just a lot of people, I'm sure, want to go, but there's not always, you know, the tickets for them, because, you know, a lot of other people want to go. So it's a highly, you know, prized event, I'd say.
Well, you talk about family, Adam. So your brother, Ryan, also played hockey. I know there's 3 years between you and him, right? So did you used to always piggyback off of Ryan and try to, like, copy him at the house on the backyard rink? Like, what was that relationship between you and your brother?
Yeah, so my brother's 3 years older than me, and it's kind of at that age where we never got to play with each other.
Yeah.
When he was a senior in high school, I would have been a freshman in high school. So usually the freshmen, they play, they're still playing Bantam. So, just being able to go to all his games when I was younger and watch all his high school games, a lot of knee hockey, tons of knee hockey, just a lot of like one-on-one battles in the garage, shooting pucks. So yeah, he's probably, you know, one of my biggest influences on, on me kind of falling in love for the game and just kind of helping me develop. I know, like, during COVID, you know, we do a lot of workouts together and kind of just push each other. So yeah, he's been a great, you know, influence on me.
So my brother was 3 years younger than myself, and I was taller. I was bigger. I used to push him around. And then all of a sudden, at one point, he grew like a whole foot, and he was like 6'7", and he used to push me around. Did the same thing happen with you? Like, at what point did you become taller and bigger and stronger, and you were like, you can't push me around anymore?
Yeah, so my brother, he's 5'11", but he's got super wide shoulders, so he kind of, like, if we were to get in a fight now, like, he's got a good build, so it'd probably be even, but I don't know, I think probably when I was around 14, 15, I know my big growth spurt kind of happened when I was going into my sophomore year. I think my ninth grade year, I was like 5'11", and then at the end of my sophomore year, I was 6'2", so that was probably, you know, the biggest time where I had my growth spurt. So I'd say around there, maybe the fights became a little bit more even.
Well, that's pretty cool. But also, like, some interesting things about you is you played soccer growing up as well. But one of the things that, you know, when you do research is that you got your black belt in karate in sixth grade. Like, what's that all about? How'd that come about?
I just remember one day in school, I think I started in second grade, and there was this girl in school who was just like showing me karate moves or something. And I just went home that day and I asked my dad, like, can I get into karate? And then we were going to like a couple places and ended on a good spot and fell in love with it. And 4 years later, I got my black belt. And then after that, I was like, all right, I'm done with this, and just focus on soccer and hockey after that.
Oh, so you're not like doing the summer workouts, like the karate and the mixed martial arts summer workouts. You're staying away from that?
So I was at my brown belt, and there's like two levels with your brown belt. And I was like, all right, I just got to make it through these and get my black belt, and then I'm done with that. I think I did like two classes after with my black belt. I just wanted to get it and then move on.
At least you got to your goal. You got to your goal of saying, I wanted to get the black belt, and this is where I want to go. So now, taking it back to you and being drafted by the Sabres, when you did your combined interviews, you said you kind of looked at guys like Mo Sider, defenseman with Detroit, Brock Faber, obviously, being that he plays for the Wild. So what do you think your progression is going to be like, college to pro, and trying to see what you expect out of yourself and what the Sabres and their fans should see from you?
I think the biggest thing with my game is just being able to use my stick and shut down, you know, other teams' top players. I feel like I'm really good at being hard to play against and making it so that guys just don't want to, you know, play against me. And I think that would be my role moving forward. And guys like Faber and Sider do that super well. You know, it's really hard to get around them. So that's kind of why I like watching those guys.
Now, you did mention at the same time, like, you wanted to probably play 3 years of college hockey before going. You're in year two right now, and I'm not going to say make a decision. We're not doing the LeBron James decision, what's going to happen next year. But are you looking at, you know, your career in pro hockey as, you know what, this is, I can't wait to get there? Or is it still like the college experience is where you want to be at?
A little bit of both. Like, I can't wait to get there, but at the same time, like, I still feel like I got a lot of stuff to work on, and I don't just want to be a complete defensive defenseman. I want to, you know, add more offense to my game and take the time I need in college to do that. So just a little bit of both.
A little bit of both is good. Okay. A little bit, maybe off the hockey questions, but I woke up this morning in Buffalo and my car said 4 degrees, and my app on my weather app said it felt like -7. I know you're in Minnesota. You're used to the cold. Are you a cold person? Do you like to go outside in the cold? Or are you saying, no, get me inside by the fireplace, I'm staying warm?
Yeah, I think I'm a cold person. Growing up, I loved to be outside and go sledding. So yeah, nothing beats, you know, being outside, maybe skating on the pond in Minnesota.
Well, how often would you have come outside from, you know, skating on the pond and all of that, and had to dip your toes into a the bathtub to thaw it out? Like, how many times did you come in with frozen toes?
I don't know. I think my mom would have some hot chocolate ready, and that's all I remember. Just like getting some hot chocolate and some nice treats after being outside for a while.
Oh, that's cool. You guys opened the season at Alaska Fairbanks this year. Was that your first time going out to Alaska? And what's the craziest place you've had to travel for hockey?
Yeah, that was my first time going to Alaska. It was a long, long couple of travel days. I'd say the craziest place, I mean, probably just like the farthest place besides that. I was in Slovakia for the Hlinka Gretzky Cup. We played in Trenčín, and I forget the other place we played. There were like two rinks, two cities we were playing in, but the main one was Trenčín. So that was pretty cool. Just cool experience to see a different country like that.
Yeah, I've gone to Bratislava in Slovakia. That was really cool. You know, I've gone to Prague, and it's all with hockey. Like, I feel like I've not traveled outside of hockey, so that is cool. What is something that music-wise, let's just say, like, fans could say, oh, like, this is interesting about him? What are your likes, your dislikes, your favorite artists? Like, music-wise, are you a big Ox guy in the locker room?
Not a big Ox guy in the locker room, no. Leave that up to some other guys that like to do that. But, I mean, for music, I'm not really that picky. Like, I think guys know, like, for rap, I like a little bit of Big X, The Plug. I don't know. I like a lot of country, Morgan Wallen.
Yep.
Drake, Sam Barber, a little bit of Avicii. I mean, not really too picky. I kind of like everything. Just, it's got to be just good music, not really – too picky on the genre, just whatever I like.
Are you a Apple Music or Spotify guy, this or that?
Spotify.
So what were, like, I know this is the time of year where they tell you what your age of music. What was your age of your listening music?
64.
Okay, well, that's that gives a little bit more of an insight look as to what you like right now. Who was the oldest of your group, your teammates? Did anybody share that they were in their 70s or 80s when it comes to their music age?
I didn't really hear most of everyone's, but I think another guy was like in the 30s. So I was thinking, like, all right, I'm probably going to be like 40 something maybe, and then 64, I'm like, are you kidding me?
No, that's 64, that's a little bit but that means you're an old soul, that means you're mature, that means that that's good. Take it as a compliment. What about TV shows? Are you a Stranger Things kind of guy? And what are some of the shows that you've been binge watching? Maybe
I'm not really a big show guy as I am a movie guy.
Okay. Movies then.
Yeah, usually are the three guys in our basement, Max Plant, Brady Cleveland, and me. Like, usually at the start of the year, we were watching tons of movies, like one every night. So more of that. I guess for shows, like, I'm big into Hawaii Five-0 if I see that one on. So okay. I guess that's probably the biggest one.
What about what was your favorite movie of the start of the year? What's your favorite movie you watch?
I went to see Mission Impossible. I think that came out in the summer, July, maybe early August. I saw that one with my dad. That was really good. Crazy to see him doing all those stunts.
Well, I don't know if I would do all these stunts. I would try to stay away from it. But you mentioned Max Plant, and there's also his brother is with your team. Did they tell you a little bit about, what Derek, their dad, so said about, the Sabres and Buffalo and all of that?
A little bit. I know they just said their dad really liked it. I always see Zam. I know he's got a Derek Plant jersey he wears when he goes skating outside on the pond. So, just things like that, I guess.
Well, his dad has the only Game 7 overtime goal in Sabres history. So that was in – the Ottawa Senators series in 97. So he huge slap shot that almost wrecked the glove right off of Ron Tugnutt. So which one has the better shot of the two Plant brothers?
Yeah, I was going to say I have seen that that goal on YouTube before. They've shown me that. So better shot? I'd probably have to go, I don't know, I don't like picking between the two, but I mean, they're both super accurate. I don't know, like Max probably doesn't shoot as much as he likes to pass, but I'd probably have to go Zam, but I don't know. It's really tight.
It is really tight. Though yeah. Max has more goals this year. They both lead, the teams in scoring with 28 and 24 points. So that's pretty cool. Well, Adam, thank you for joining us on Sabres Live. Good luck for the rest of the year. Good luck at the World Juniors. Hopefully there's nobody in your family fighting for those tickets. Everything will be all set. And maybe we see you soon here in Buffalo and in Western New York in our great winter that we have. So thank you for joining us and good luck.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's great to see Adam Kleber and talk to him. Maybe in a few years, he'll take part in Ryan Miller's Catwalk for Charity, presented by New Era Cap Foundation. It is back on January the 16th at Babeville. So this will be a lot of fun, fashion-forward event featuring a great lineup of appearance from a former of not just Ryan's teammate of 05-06, but my teammates and a lot of guys that are coming back into town for the celebration the night before. A live set from Strictly Hip, open bar, and more. So just go on sabres.com/catwalk to purchase your tickets today. Bob Stauffer, Mr. Orler, will be on Sabres Live right after this break.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, get ready for a Sabres road crew in Nashville, Tennessee. Join us for an afternoon watch party because the Sabres are playing in Carolina on Monday, January the 19th. And then stay around and catch them take on the Predators the next night. Proceeds to support the Buffalo Sabres Foundation. Get your ticket and reserve your spot at sabres.com/road crew. I know our next guest has been to Nashville many, many times. Bob Stauffer is Mr. Oilers. He's a color commentator for the Oilers on radio. He hosts Oilers Now on 880 CHED in Edmonton and also catch him on Sportsnet during the intermission. So, Stauff, thank you for joining. We'd love to have you for a road crew party. How do you like Nashville in January?
Well, we have an Oilers Now road trip in Nashville in January. The Oilers are there back, Chicago to Nashville, back-to-back nights. I will tell you, when we came out, the trip sold out. We've got 40 people going down from Edmonton.
Okay.
But when we got back to traveling again, when the world stopped being crazy and people were allowed to fly, we had 75 people go to Nashville it would have been the 21-22 season. Okay. And at the time, Ken Holland was the GM, Paul Coffey was the vice chair, and Jay Woodcroft was the coach. And so we had an event 5 to 7. And myself and one of the other broadcasters stayed at the hotel bar from 7 until midnight that night. And then we made it over to Tootsie's until
Tootsie's, yep.
3 or 4 in the morning. And I couldn't sleep. I had to do my book. So I did a wraparound that day. I never did go to sleep. I did my show at that time. My show was from noon to 2. It moved to afternoon drive here the next year. I did my show. I did Nick Kiprios' show in Toronto. Had not hit the wrapper at all for 1 second. And then the Oilers, Draisaitl just lights Nashville up. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I think he's had like 10 multiple goal games against Nashville the last 12 games. So suffice to say, Marty, when we got to the airport that night, the plane was not even airborne, and I was out. But I'd gone. I was pleased that at my age, I could still do a wraparound. Like, I was happy that I could still do it.
That's pretty significant. Now, you're setting the bar really high for Duffer and I when we go, because everybody says, we're going to party in Nashville. I'm like, I'll be in bed at 10 o'clock because I'll be tired. But
maybe
I got to pull the inner stuff in me.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why you look like you do and I look like I do. So there you go.
Oh, no, you're great. Let me ask you, before we talk about the Oilers, obviously the Sabres beat the Oilers the last time in Buffalo, but it hasn't been good of late. This road trip's not good. You're connected everywhere. Anything that you hear, maybe some potential moves? They still have the 3 goalies. There's a lot going on with Buffalo. Are you hearing anything in your circles?
Yeah, as you know, we have Frank Saravalli on, we have Elliot Friedman on, yeah. Elliot's on today, we have Pierre LeBrun on, and we have Brian Lawton on. And those guys are, you know, on different days, and they're pretty connected. What I would say is Buffalo does have the 3 goalies. Like, I think the Oilers had interest in Alex Lyon last year when he was in Detroit. They just couldn't consummate anything. And at the start of the year, Edmonton, like, the Oilers had a brutal, I don't want to make excuses, but they played 16 of their first 24 games on the road and had 5-game and 7-game Eastern Conference road trips.
Yeah.
This on the heels of back-to-back years where they played late into June, where the team they played in the Western Conference Final was the furthest team from Edmonton, mm-hmm. and the team that they played in the Stanley Cup Final is the greatest distance between NHL teams, Edmonton and Florida, right? So, the Oilers didn't perform overly well. The team was leaking. They had no practice time. And so there was lots of discussions around goaltenders. So the two teams in the East that have extra goalies are Pittsburgh and Buffalo. So I know there was interest at one time in Lyon. I think Lyon's a pretty serviceable backup goalie myself. Buffalo's an interesting team to me. To me, and here's the deal. I was in Edmonton. The team missed the playoffs 10 straight years. Okay? So I'm from a school like, I always said, as Edmonton got better, I would be more critical, Martin, of what the Oilers were doing. I just don't believe in beating down teams that are I'm not trying to come across as condescending. It's just the way I am, right? Like, I have empathy for the fans. They got great fans. They've got long-term broadcasters there that care about the club. And I have empathy for the position of how it's worked out. And I know Edmonton got lucky back in 2015, and it was a game changer for the organization. And people can talk about, you know, well, Ken Holland, he brought some stability to the organization. The biggest thing that happened is Connor and Leon took their game to another level. That's the biggest thing that happened in Edmonton. So in Buffalo's case, I look at the players, and I think that there should be more there as a team. And I'm sort of a little bit perplexed why. But saying that, the Oilers haven't played particularly well against Buffalo over the years. They've had one good performance a couple of years ago in 23-24 when they blew them out in Edmonton 8-3. Other than that, like they never win in Buffalo. They don't play well in Buffalo. And it's usually – they can't ever score there. I don't know what it is. It's usually a Monday-Tuesday game. So –
Is there bulletin board material, though, because of what Rob Ray said?
I don't
when
know.
When the Oilers were in town, he said, there's an empty net. And he said something like, well, they've played with an empty net all game. Usually players don't listen to this, but you were telling me that maybe the Oilers players heard that? And
there might have been a player that heard it. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know whether or not anybody did. There might have been a guy that might have heard it. You played the position.
Yeah.
So what I would say to you is Edmonton had no practice time the first 6 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
The structure and process in their game was not there. I mentioned the heavy Eastern Conference road schedule. What's happened here is they've had a 5-game homestand. It started with a road game at Seattle where they completely shut them down and won every facet of the game and shut them out 4-0. Skinner played well in that game. The penalty kill was 6-6. They also got Nugent Hopkins back, and their power play is completely different. It's gone, you know, like in the last two games, it's 5-6. So, he just touches every aspect of the game. So I would say to you that, you know, I know there's a lot of question marks about Edmonton's goaltending, and that's fair. That same goalie, Stuart Skinner, out-dueled Jake Oettinger in back-to-back Western Conference Finals. Like, he put up a 922 and 924 in back-to-back years. Jim Nill told me directly, Skinner may have been the difference 2 years ago. Not last year. He thought the Oilers were better. You know, he said, your team took a step forward. The problem is Hyman got hurt in game five.
Yes.
Right? Game four against Dallas, and never came back to the playoffs, and is the Oilers' third best forward. So I don't know if it's bulletin board material, but I do know that, you know, again, I get it. There's lots of criticism out there. It's, you know, some people think, well, goaltending is the only reason why Edmonton. I mean, they lost in 6 and 7 games. And in the 6-game series, they lost without Zach Hyman has more goals in a single playoffs than any other current player in the NHL. He had 16 the year before. And he was awesome in last year's playoff before he fractured his wrist. Like, and I know everybody has injuries, but Florida didn't have a player of that caliber out of their lineup. And they were deeper than Edmonton to begin with. Yeah. So it made it that much. To me, it wasn't goaltending. And so, now, do I think there might be a slight change at some point? Yes. But I also think Skinner's still 27 years of age. You tell me. How long does it take a goalie?
It takes some time, and obviously, but I think what the Oilers, and you obviously would know, I think what the Oilers would prefer is if they can add somebody to go along with Stuart Skinner. But their cap situation is going to be tough when it comes to having to fit somebody. But they'd like to add somebody, maybe an upgrade over Calvin Pickard, and have that 1A, 1B with Stuart Skinner to go on and hope to upgrade in that way.
Well, didn't you have, like, I recall, was it not you, Mikko Noronen? Who was the other one?
Ryan Miller was there. So it was me, Ryan Miller, Mikko Noronen, and
yeah.
You know, Millsy and I went back and forth, and yeah, I mean, we've had that. I played with Dominic Hasek and Dwayne Roloson. We had a 3-goalie carousel at that time too. But having two guys sometimes, if you don't have Igor Shesterkin or if you don't have Andrei Vasilevsky, maybe you can have a couple of guys that get it done. But you mentioned Connor McDavid, Bob, and obviously McDavid the other night against Seattle had his first hat trick in over 3 years. You have to go back to October of 2022 for a McDavid hat trick. That's the year he scored 64. Are we in store to see like another one of those like McDavid performance now that he's got his grooves and everybody's healthy?
Well, the Oilers followed up the 9-4 win against Seattle, and they gave up a late goal. It was a 6-goal win. And then they were angry. They gave up the goal in the final minute. But they beat Winnipeg 6-2 and they jumped all over them. Like, it was just the first period, McDavid was a man possessed. And I have a theory that if he gets 8 shot attempts in a game, things go well for the Edmonton Oilers. Sometimes he wasn't shooting off the flank when he's there on the power play. And, I mean, I think back to game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final in Florida, 2-0 game, he comes down the left side and he surprised, Bobrovsky, just shot it right at him.
Yep.
And it caught Bobrovsky, like Bobrovsky wasn't expecting the shot. And I, some Canadian players are really unselfish. Like, some Canadian guys overpass and overshare the puck. And I think I'd love to see him have 8 shot attempts per game, because there's chaos and collateral damage created. Even if the goalie makes the save, he can't always control the rebound. They got one like that the other night against Winnipeg. It would not surprise me tonight if he had 6, like, the Oilers have got some practice time, and they've had more practices in the last 2 weeks than they did in the first 6 weeks of the year. And so even though they don't have a completely healthy lineup, they don't have Roslovic. He scored in the 5-1 game that Buffalo won this season. And Roslovic's been really good. Like, we have not seen the team with McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Hyman, and Roslovic all together. And Savoy's coming, right? He's a very useful player.
I was going to ask you about Matt Savoy, because obviously we know that trade that brought in Ryan McLeod to the Sabres. Now, McLeod is pointless in 6, but he's been very good, in his time in Buffalo. Lately, it's been a little bit harder for him to produce offensively. But where is Savoy in his development, knowing that the Oilers need younger, maybe less expensive players to take bigger roles, because you're got McDavid and the money that is going to go to him and Draisaitl and all the contracts that they have?
I think the team missed Ryan McLeod last year. I think that he was a bit of a conduit between the older players, and there was a younger group with Bouchard and McLeod that were in the same draft year. And Ryan McLeod had first-round talent. There was just a question about his competitiveness as a player. I didn't have the same questions. Yeah. I thought he was a pretty good player. I think it's a different game. Right. Like, I grew up playing against guys like Todd Ewan. Right. So I get it. Like, John Kordick and guys like that. Like, and by the way, those guys were really good players that went to the Western League and became fighters. Right. Like, they were dominant players of their age groups. But it's just simply a different game. And I looked at McLeod's ability to transport the puck and his ability to decrease the minutes load for McDavid and Draisaitl. Because Ryan McLeod can play 17 minutes a game, no problem, in his sleep, because the way he can skate. That said, Savoy has a higher offensive upside. And it might not happen right away, but it started to happen here of late. Like, could he become a 60-point scorer in his career? Yeah, he can. But McLeod had 50 last year for you guys and was a plus player. So it was partially a trade out of finances. It was an interesting trade, and Savoy has got a lot of support here in Edmonton. You know, I think the thing that surprised me is how good of a player he is defensively.
Yeah,
he's a good penalty killer, and he wins puck battles along the boards. He's an exceptional player in the WHL. Plays as a 15-year-old, and he's always needed adjustment time every step. Major junior, AHL, and now NHL. He's needed a little bit of adjustment time, and we're starting to see that come to fruition.
Now, the division that the Oilers are in, and that Pacific division, knowing that the Ducks are, playing at another level that we hadn't seen in the last few years.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights, you even got the San Jose Sharks, who are elevating themselves. Where do you think the Oilers are at when the season's all said and done and going into the playoffs again and trying to make it to the finals for third straight year and trying to win it this time with this group of players?
Well, Martin, I think it's incredibly difficult to make it in back-to-back years. Mm-hmm. Like history has proven that in the league. And I realize Florida's done it 3 straight years. I think the Oilers are in the right division. Okay. I think it's probably the weakest of the 4 divisions in the NHL. Vancouver is going through something. Yeah. I know Calgary got 7 last night. They haven't been able to score much all year long. They got the 2 empty netters, but they can defend at home, and they got a good goalie. I know a lot of guys down in Calgary want the Flames to commit to a rebuild, and they won't do it. And I don't see Vancouver committing to a rebuild, and they don't have any centers, especially with Pettersson out right now. I don't think that you know, Mike Greer's in San Jose. They're still a, you know, they're still in a little bit of a rebuild mode. Probably they probably need a right shot defenseman. I'm sure they'd love to get Verhoef in the upcoming draft this year. They got a lot of forwards. So, you know, Anaheim's taking a step forward. Vegas is good. LA is solid. LA can defend. They don't light it up offensively, but they can defend. So, I think the Oilers are in the easiest of the four divisions, and they tend to be a team that's much better after about the 20th game of the season, and we're starting to see that round into form right now.
What do you see out of Chris Knobloch now establishing himself after, you know, coming in halfway in the year, going to the finals a full season last year? Western New York remembers he coached Connor McDavid with the Erie Otters, and I got to work with him a little bit. So how is his adjustment period, and where do you see him as a coach with the Oilers going for the next little bit here?
Well, he was destined to coach the Oilers. Yeah. I mean, you know the story. I did his games at the University of Alberta. Mm-hmm. You know, he took Kootenay to the Memorial Cup. That's it. You know, you were on a pretty good junior team, as I recall, back in the day. And Kootenay's, at that time, I mean, Kootenay's not even in the WHL anymore, but it was almost an impossible place to get good Europeans and no chance of getting American import players there, right? Mm-hmm. So he did an incredible job getting Kootenay there. For some inexplicable reason, they weren't happy that he interviewed for the University of Alberta job and decided to make a change. And that ultimately led to him ending up in Erie, where he became the first coach in major junior history to have four consecutive 50-plus win seasons. Yeah. You know, he had to touch all the bases. He's not a guy that's slick. He's not a salesman. He's a coach that comes up with solutions. He's not a yeller and screamer. I think he's today's coach. He's the first coach since Scotty Bowman. You guys know him well in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. First coach since Scotty Bowman in his first 2 years as an NHL head coach to take his team to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. Yeah. There's been some tough moments earlier this year. The team was not defending well. That's always been part of what he's been able to do, is cut down goals against. I expect him to be able to cut down goals against as the season goes on, and the team's starting to score. They've moved up to seventh in the league in goals for. I believe coaching to me comes down to this, Martin. You either coach to score the next goal or coach to stop the next goal from being scored. That defines you as a coach. That's who you are. He coaches to score the next goal. I like coaches like that.
Now, very aggressive coach, obviously, and he's got the talent to do it. Bob Stauffer, host of Oilers Nation on 880 Ched in Edmonton. Also, Oilers Now, I should say, not Oilers Nation, Oilers Now. Also, a radio commentator and a panelist on Sportsnet when the regional coverage goes on TV. Stauff, enjoy the day. You and I will talk on your show later this afternoon, and then we got the big face-off tonight in Edmonton. So thanks again for joining us here today.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys had the thin filter on as well, so much appreciated.
You're looking great, man. You're looking awesome. Well, good. That was Bob Stauffer. And fans, don't miss out another one of those big giveaways. So Sabres, give 716 Holiday Raffle for your chance at a guaranteed $71,600 jackpot plus second chance prizes. Presented by Northtown Automotive, all proceeds benefit local nonprofit organizations in Western New York through the Sabres Foundation. Get your tickets now through December 27th at sabres.com/5050. Going to take a quick break here and maybe talk a little preview after this conversation with Bob Stauffer here on Sabres Live.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I will be back in a couple of minutes.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Great show today with Adam Kleber and Bob Stauffer, but it is Alex Lyon's birthday. Find out at 8:30 tonight in the pregame if he is going to play against the Oilers. We'll see you tonight on the pregame show.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.